Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Peju Bambushi Roethlisberger.
Hi, everyone. I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour Pop Edition. Did I say pop culture edition? Okay. How are you, Mom? What's up?
I'm fine, sweetie. Everything is good on this end. I had a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. How've you been, sweetie?
I've been good. I had a wonderful Mother's Day weekend as well, even though I'm not a mother, but I celebrated my mom. You may know her.
Okay.
I had a good time. And I'm actually, okay. I'm actually looking forward to actually going to go visit my friends, pretty soon, in another week and a half. Well, actually another week and change.
Oh yeah. Okay, honey. Well, enjoy your trip. Are they in the South, North, East,
West? They're in the South. They're in Florida.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Great. Oh, wonderful state to visit. Not so necessarily good to live there under that DeSantis, but we won't go there. Okay. Yeah. Wonderful, sweetie. Enjoy yourself.
All right. So what are we sipping on today? Let's see. Looks like some whiskey. Duke and Dame Salty Caramel Whiskey. Mari, we had this before in one of our earlier episodes. Can you give us a toast?
Okay. I'm ready. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Here's to health, wealth and happiness, long life and prosperity. Salud.
Salud.
Excellent.
Ooh. Okay.
Excellent.
Before we get into our main topics, I just want to say I'm loving the Kendrick Lamar, The Heart Part 5. Awesome video. If you haven't seen it, guys, please go check it out. What do you think,
Mom? Yes, honey. Kendrick, you did it again. You did it again. Mesmerizing. Oh, I just love the optics. Oh, I love the lyrics, the words. I don't know if you want to call them lyrics to a rap. I love the words. I love the sentiment. Oh, Kendrick, you did your thing again, young man. You did it.
Oh, loved it. And the use of the deep fake. But guys, if you haven't seen it, go check it out. Okay. So we're going to start off with something that is a little sad. The untimely passing of Kevin Samuel, the polarizing YouTube personality, died at the age of 57 a few days ago. And, you know, obviously this was trending. We didn't know what happened at first. As far as we know, according to TMZ, he passed away with a young woman who was a nurse who he had met the day before. And he passed out on her. And they're saying that he died of a heart attack. That's the latest that we've heard. With that being said, everybody just kind of had a field day with the passing of Kevin Samuel. There was a lot of trolls. There was a lot of people who said a lot of negative comments. And then, you know, obviously he was very controversial. He was a person who started with the average at best comments. And also, if you are unmarried at 35, you're a leftover woman. He made that trend. Now, Ma, are we going too far? Not me or you in particular, but in general, because there's been so many negative comments said about Kevin Samuel. Do you think this is unfair to do to a person who is no longer with us?
The short answer is yes. I mean, death is not a bad break that came to Kevin Samuels. It's going to come to all of us. And I don't think it's a good idea to attack, malign, or criticize someone who is not able to defend him or herself. Mm-hmm. It's just that plain and simple. For those reasons, I don't think it's a good idea. Okay? And I think it's a little bit cruel, and I think it's grossly unfair. And if you're accusing someone else of being insensitive and cruel and, you know, misogynistic or whatever, you know, think about your own behavior, you know, just how sensitive and caring are you being? So, I think we should honor life in almost whatever form it takes place. And, regarding Kevin Samuels, even the whole idea of him being polarizing, well, you know, to me, that's not even a good way to characterize him. That's, to me, that whole thing is a bit insensitive. However, many people would agree.
Yes.
I say this about Kevin Samuels. Some people would say chickens came home to roost because Kevin Samuels always used this term, you will die alone. If you don't do this, that, and the other thing, you will die alone. He referred to dying alone all the time.
What do you mean you'll die alone?
Well, if women didn't behave a certain way, they wouldn't have a man and they'd die alone.
Because we all die alone, really.
Well, that's not what he meant. Okay. He didn't mean in the spiritual sense. He meant in the literal sense. You would have no one there with you. So
someone was with
him. I say all that to say this. Kevin Samuels virtually died alone. He died in the arms or in the midst of a stranger, someone he just met the night before, someone who could not possibly have really cared about him, simply because she didn't know him. And the very thing he predicted for so many women happened to him. And for all his knowledge and expertise about relationships, let's see who steps forward to say they love Kevin Samuels besides his mother. Let's see who steps forward to say they cared about him besides his mother.
Well, you know, my whole issue with people talking about death and, oh, you know, you got what you deserve and all this thing, like we all are going to die. Death is not a punishment. We don't know the time, the place, or how, but we're all going to die. And so I always had an issue when people would, for some reason, if it was someone that they had an issue with, they would get excited when they would die. And I'm just like, well, you know, you're going to die too. Right. I mean, it's not a bad joke
played on Kevin Samuels.
Yeah.
It's coming to all of us. Absolutely. Well, but what is the thing to me about the way in which Kevin Samuels died, the circumstances under which he apparently died, and it was the thing that he predicted for so many women, and he described as a fate worse than hell, you know, just a terrible, terrible thing to happen. And it, in fact, is what was visited upon him.
Well,
and that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying about the whole Kevin Samuels thing.
Yeah, I mean, I hear everything you're saying.
For him,
being
a relationship person, he just picked up somebody and that was it. Wherever he got it from, you know, he just got it the night before, and that was his overnight guest. So, bam.
Well, you know, I guess I'm just kind of old fashioned. I don't think it really serves much of a purpose to just kind of, you know, just kind of bash somebody when, you know, his body of work speaks for itself, whether or not you liked him or not. You know, it wasn't someone that I would listen to. I've seen probably one or two of his videos, and that was enough for me. And I made my decision, and that was it. As far as his death, I always feel, you know, that I still think that was relatively young to pass. And I feel that it's sad, you know, and so people,
of course.
And so I would just say, we all are going to die for all those people who are, you know, think it's funny and da 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 and ha ha.
We should celebrate life and mourn death.
Right.
And that's basically how it should go for everyone, irrespective of what their political views were and, you know, whatever.
Okay. So
R.I.P. Kevin Samuels. Yeah,
R.I.P. Kevin Samuels. Yeah. So another person who is in the headlines right now, if everyone will remember Fred Savage from the Wonder Years.
Yeah.
He was fired from the reboot of the Wonder Years. And there's been an allegation against him. There's actually been several allegations against him. Some have been more notable than others, and some may have been, you know, kind of kept more quiet. I think there was one in 2018 when the person claimed in her lawsuit that Fred violently struck her in the arm 3 times and yelled, "Do not touch me with your hands," after she brushed dandruff off of his suit, and that the actor had a volatile and aggressive temper as it related to the female crew. And so she was like a costume person. I don't know exactly, you know, her exact position, but she worked in the costume department. So we don't know right now exactly.
Well, what are the allegations?
We don't know the exact allegations, okay. But we know that people didn't like what was going on and they let him go. And it's been rumored that he apparently has a reputation for not being nice on set and particularly towards women. And we don't know if it's sexual, if it's violent or what, but he has a past of violent and aggression towards women. Mm-hmm. So my question to you, Ma, are you surprised at the allegations without actually knowing the specifics? That's kind of hard to explain. Yeah. Are you?
Surprised.
That's Fred Savage. I mean, I know you.
I don't know that surprise is the appropriate, expression of how I feel. I would like to say disappointed. I'm always disappointed when people are inappropriate and when they're disrespectful of other human beings, irrespective to gender. You know, I'm always very disappointed. I'm disappointed that he was violent, assaultive, offensive, and just basically inappropriate all the way around. I'm very disappointed in him. I don't know what his problem is, what the circumstances are, but that is something that should not be happening. Whether it's physically assaultive, you know, sexually, you know, inappropriate or assaultive, it's all wrong.
Yeah.
So it's just a big disappointment from Fred Savage. And I mean, he goes like the rest. He's not above reproach. I mean, you know, anybody can be wrong. Anybody can be mentally ill. Anybody can be nasty. Anybody can be on drugs. I mean, so, you know, I'm not surprised that it was him in that sense, not at all.
Mm-hmm. I think.
But I just really feel that whatever it is, it needs to be addressed.
I think part of the issue is that people always sweep things under the rug. And then when they see that little things happen, there's little incidents, they just, you know, give people a slap on the wrist or, you know, they make it go away with money as opposed to maybe giving that person some help at that point. So the line, you won't have bigger blowouts because usually when it's something you can, you know, in their character that makes people behave the way that they do, there's help available. You know, but the older you get, the longer you go without people actually checking you and you actually addressing who you are and the things that you've done, then it becomes harder to overcome whatever personal issues you may have.
When things are ignored, they get bigger. They don't go away. You know, they magnify, multiply, absolutely.
So whatever the issue is with him, you know, it doesn't need to be on a set. If he's violent, if he's sexually aggressive or whatever it is, all that stuff, he needs to get his mind together and, you know, straighten that out. So, so unfortunate. All right. So let's move on to something on a TV show. We're not going to talk about the actual episode, but we will talk about a guest appearance that was trending. And I don't know if you recall, Liam Neeson appeared on an episode of Atlanta on May 5th. And in it, he went on to seem like apologize when he was in a scene with Paperboy. And he tells Paperboy, "You might have heard or read about my transgression. You know what I said about what I wanted to do to a Black guy, any Black guy, when I was a younger man. A friend of mine had been raped and I acted out of anger." And then he said, "In hindsight, it honestly frightens me. I thought people knowing who I once was would make clear who I am, who I've become. But with all that being said, I am sorry. I apologize if I hurt people." And then, you know, he made some other joke and saying that the, you know, Black people tried to ruin his career and, you know, they didn't. And, you know, something about, you know, how white people don't really have to feel to apologize or feel sorry for stuff, but whatever. We get the point was that he was apologizing, and he was apologizing for an interview that he had for a movie called Cold Pursuit. And I guess one of his friends was raped. And he said, "I went up and down areas with a cosh, hoping I'd be approached by somebody. I'm ashamed to say that. And I did it for maybe a week, hoping some Black bastard would come out of a pub and have a go at me about something, you know, so that I could kill him. And of course, he received a lot of backlash for that. Very warranted. So, Mom, do you accept his apology?
No. Nope. Think it was very disingenuous. Nope. I do not accept his apology. I hope that he is remorseful genuinely, you know, and that we will only be able to assess based on his behavior going forth. But those words that came out of his mouth during that episode of Atlanta, no, very disingenuous. If his friend had been raped by a white man, would he have been hanging outside the pub waiting for a white man to come out so he can kill him?
Good point.
Just exactly what is his point? What do you mean by that? You had those racist thoughts already.
Yeah. No.
You had those racist thoughts. And it was just that plain and simple. You know, yeah. And you decided you would resort to vigilantism because that has been something that has happened to Black men historically and still even up to recent times. And you just thought you'd resort to the very worst of the worst. Instead of saying you would like to see that person, you know, brought to trial and, you know, punished, if found guilty. If in fact that happened, you want that person to get what they deserve legally through the law. Why'd you want to kill him? Ask yourself the question, would you have wanted to kill him if he was white?
Well, you know,
that's my thing.
When I was watching it, of course, I was surprised. It was for people who haven't seen it, it was in a scene where it's called Cancel Club, and he was talking to Paperboy, and he actually was in a movie with Paperboy called Widows. Anyway, I don't accept his apology. I am open to him apologizing in a way in which it wasn't so artsy and, you know, just so.
And it was just really very vague. Right. It was just almost a non-apology. This is your idea of an apology?
But I do.
I can barely identify it as an apology.
I do think it was clever on Donald Glover's part to have him in the scene and to have him say something, like to say what we're all thinking out loud. And I thought that was cool. However, for a real apology, there needed to be something a little bit meatier. He needed to come out. He needed to, you know, make a public statement, and we need to see him, you know, we need to see him have movement behind those words.
Right. So you have to balance those kind of things out. Or is he really, you have him on the show, maybe mm-hmm. your intention is for him to give an explanation and or apology, but maybe his intention is just to showcase his feelings, just to give himself an audience. I remember one time Oprah had some KKK people on her show many, many years ago. She had some KKK people on her show, and all it was giving them a platform to talk about their beliefs and what they want to do. And she said she learned from that. She'd never do it again. So, you know, these things cut both ways, as most things do. Okay. Mm-hmm. And in this case with Liam Neeson, are you just trying to make yourself more relevant? Or you, is it just another acting gig? I mean, what really was it? I didn't get a sense that he was remorseful at all. I didn't feel any contrition. I didn't get it. I didn't get that from him.
I felt that he was willing to go on a show. I felt that he is open.
It was a big thing for him. What do you mean willing? I'm sure it was a job that he got whatever money for.
No. I mean he made himself vulnerable, and you know, he kind of embarrassed himself.
To me, it was a win-win for him because he was already getting shit for it. You know what I mean? People were already giving him shit for what he did. So either some people are going to say, oh, good, or they're going to say, to me, it was a win-win for him.
Okay, well, I don't accept his apology. I think
I don't either.
So it's going in the right direction.
I always say most things cut both ways. To me, for this only cut one way. To me, it was a win-win for him because he walked into the door losing. In terms of the audience that he was speaking to, you know, he walked through the door, you know, with a deficit. And so he either improved his situation a little or he stayed where he was. So to me, he had nothing to lose by coming on. To me, that was not brave or anything. It was just an opportunity for him. That's how I saw it.
All right. So let's move on to another topic that is a little bit lighter, I hope. It's Chris Paul and the incident at the American Airlines Center. Oh, now there's a lot of moving pieces with this whole incident. So the Suns lost, they were losing, and Chris Paul filed out, and he had 5 points, and that means, and he has 6 fouls, and so that's one of the worst games that he's ever had in his history of playing the game of professional basketball. And so along the way, two fans were escorted out of the arena because they reportedly put hands on Chris Paul's mom and pushed his wife, and their children were also there. So all of this happened in front of the children. Then later on, it was released that the Mavs issued a statement saying that two fans attempted to give unwanted hugs to members of Paul's family. And, you know, the Mavericks said that the fans were banned until 2023. So those are the two things. Then later on TNT, Kenny Smith, he said that he spoke with Chris Paul's mom, who he has, you know, a relationship with, some rapport. And yeah, she said that the young fan, who we're not exactly sure how old he is because he looks really young, but I'm hearing that he's 18 or 19, older than his face looks, but that he's able to, but he's not able to drink. I'm hearing that he was obviously inebriated and kept tapping her on the shoulder and wishing her Happy Mother's Day, even after she politely asked him to stop. And I think Chris Paul's wife got up to go to security or somewhere and say, look, he needs to stop. He needs to stop drinking, and things escalated. Right. Much ado about nothing or a big deal?
I don't know. It's a couple ways that you can look at that. I'm going to say, much ado about nothing if we're thinking in terms of someone actually being really hurt, okay? Because obviously no one was hurt. But is it significant enough to give some attention to? Yes, because in the first place, there should be a no-touch, hands-off policy that should be strictly adhered to. And if someone touches another person, because if some stranger's coming toward me, touching me, I don't know what their intent is. And if they're drunk, their intentions could go sideways. Maybe they intended for it to be something and it became something different, okay? So I really think this hands off, no touch policy should be strictly adhered to. And if that kind of thing is reported and, you know, you get a warning, if it happens again, a warning depending on how bad it is, you know, and if it continues, then you get ejected. And I think that's what, I think attention needs to be brought to whomever is in charge of security.
Well, I think that's, I think that's what happened. And I think, you know, just thinking about everything, right, it escalated because the Suns lost really badly and Chris Paul was ejected. He was ejected because he fouled out. And so the family was probably leaving too at that point. And so it was a more of a hostile environment. And so I think everything just to me got blown out of proportion. With that being said, don't ever put your hands on me when you don't know me.
Right.
And that's just kind of like, don't do that.
And we don't know. And also this thing of unwanted hugs, we don't know if they were hugs or not.
That's not what the mom said. The mom didn't say that, but that's what some reason, that's what the Mavericks said.
We do know pretty much whatever he was doing, it was unwanted. And it could have been addressed. That's all. Anything to do with touching other people, you know, short of an accident, accidentally being pushed into somebody or falling or something like that, to deliberately and willfully touch anybody, you know, on the premises, no, that's a problem. And if that happens, that person is subject to being ejected. And that's how I feel about it.
What I think is, I do think it was something. I don't think it was the biggest deal in the world because they got him out of there. And I think he's probably embarrassed because everybody's seen his face and they know who he is. And so that's, you know, but knowing
it needs to be addressed. It could have gone really badly.
But knowing the way things are, he will have another TikTok video or it'll go viral or who knows. So to me, he should have gotten kicked out. But everybody is okay. Everyone's okay. Fine.
But I'm glad Chris Paul's mom and wife are good.
Yeah, and the kids. Yeah. It was Mother's Day. It was Mother's Day. People enjoyed their freaking Mother's Day. Okay. So my something else was trending, and I did not show this to you, and I'm so sorry. So you're going to see.
It doesn't matter.
Well, no, I think you would want to see this. You're going to see the after. You'll see the after this podcast. So Jesse Williams was trending. You know Jesse Williams, right?
Yes.
Okay. So
he was. I know how he looks.
Well, you would have really liked this because this is a different side that we've seen. Some nude images were leaked, and this was because he's on Broadway. Yes, he's on Broadway, and somebody, you know, took pictures of his nude body. He's built, well endowed, and it went viral. Tamar was saying that it seems like he had three legs and all this other stuff, all type of stuff that we won't go into.
Why did you send me that video?
I'm sorry.
You sent me all the rest of them. Why did you send me that one? I didn't get that one.
I meant to. I don't know what happened. Please forgive me.
Season daughter.
Anyway, Ma, do you think that our reaction to
I can look it up for myself.
Do you think that our reaction to leaked photos are a double standard nowadays when it comes to men versus women? Because we have when a woman has these photos, now listen, he was minding his own business on stage. They took everybody's phone. They're not supposed to leak that. Now, Britney Spears, on the other hand, she's been uploading. She uploaded 12 nude photos, but she had, you know, like the little emoji hands and, you know, something covering her, you know, bottom private area.
What's the double standard? Come on, daughter. What's the double standard?
So they're saying for Britney, some fans are wondering, should she have stayed in her conservatorship? And some people are saying it's liberating, but for Jesse, everyone's just happy. Everyone is just like, you know, keep the pictures flowing, even though he didn't ask for that.
Yeah. Well, I don't get it because Britney is putting hers out purposely just as a, you know, something she wants to do herself. But wait a minute, but are you saying that he was on stage?
He was
performing nude.
He was performing nude on Broadway. And right. when that happens that everyone is supposed to keep their
phones. Different. The circumstances are different. It wasn't like Britney was on stage performing and she was nude. You know, this is her at home stripping and sending pictures. Well, it's not the same.
I know it's not the same, but when photos are leaked, so you think we can't really
judge the two because it's not someone saying. It's an unfair analogy, right? Right. You know, if he was home sending pictures out and he's somebody who, you know, has been under the conservatorship of his father for years and, you know, was not able to parent his children. And as soon as that conservatorship is lifted, she's just on there. Is she showing pictures of her pregnant, her stomach?
No, she's not. She's showing pictures of her before she was pregnant. Okay. Because she's pregnant now.
Yeah. So, you know, so now she's just, I would say, you know, for on Britney's part, you know, maybe she thinks it's funny, maybe she thinks she missed something, but I don't think it's in the best taste. Okay. I won't say that it shows that she's unstable, but I would say that it's probably not in the best taste. That's all I would say about that. With him, I would say he's working and somebody took a picture and it sounds like he has a good body. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Okay. I do think this wasn't probably the best example, but I do think that it is a double standard when nudes are released at this point in time, men versus women. I do believe that it is. And I do think that if Britney wants to do that, how many women have done that, you know, many, many times. It's her body and she's not really completely nude, as they can't. I don't think you can show complete nudity on Instagram. You can, you know, be suggestive, but you can't really show like actual nipples. And
well, my reason for thinking that it's not a good look for Britney is that because Britney needs to probably just stay away from controversy for a minute before she find her heirs bounce back under her father's conservatorship again. So she needs to me, she just needs to stay away from controversy.
And and how much money would someone have to pay you, Ma, to do nudity on Broadway?
Not much. Because at the point that I would accept a role where I have to be nude, I'd be totally senile. So, so they probably could get away with paying me nothing. I probably wouldn't even know where I was at. I probably would think I'm in my bedroom somewhere. You know, if they have to agree to do that, I would be totally senile. So, you know, no, they could get me to do it for free. at the point that I would agree to that, I would be out of my head. That's all. I'd probably be having great fun, laughing through it all, not even realizing what I'm doing.
That would
be the only way. As long as I'm halfway lucid, that ain't gonna happen.
Well, I'll leave that alone. I'm not opposed to nudity, I'm not opposed to it. I just don't, it would take a lot for me to do that full nudity, but I'm not 100% opposed. Yes.
Something
you're going to say, huh?
No. It just seems like you're always hovering around the edge of it. You don't have much further to go. It's a couple inches of cloth to the left and to the right. Oh my God.
Okay. That's really good. Okay. So let's get into our updates before we go into one other topic that I've wanted to mention. This is an unfortunate one. Elon Musk, I know we talk about him too much.
Oh my God.
This is an update. Elon Musk said he would reverse the Twitter ban on Donald Trump if everything goes through.
I don't know why you had to announce that nonsense. Everybody already knows that. Okay. That is not interesting. Nobody cares. Okay. And that is highly predictable. Everybody knows that about him.
Okay.
Everybody knows that about him.
I did the best I could, man. Was just updating.
I know that. But I mean, that's not, everybody knew that. Everybody knew that when he got involved with the whole Twitter purchase. So everybody knew that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The other update is on Jerry Jones. Apparently, some of our comments that we made during the Jerry Jones car accident in the at Harry Hines Boulevard. Some people may or may not have realized that it was a joke. We just want to clarify that it was a joke. We don't believe that Jerry Jones was actually driving around looking for adult entertainment. So just wanted to let everyone know, I think he was just happened to be there for business purposes. Well, wink, wink. No, I'm joking. It was all a joke, all in good fun, guys. All right. So,
what on it?
Just a couple people just, they didn't hear about it and they just wanted to make sure everything was okay. So we want to clarify, it was a joke. Okay. It was a joke. Okay. So next topic, Ma, have you heard of something called stealthing?
No.
Okay. Stealthing. So in Germany, a woman was jailed for poking holes in her lover's condom. She was in a friends with benefits situation and the guy didn't want anything serious. She wanted something a little bit more serious. So she poked holes in the condom and she sent him a WhatsApp message saying that she thinks that she's pregnant and turns out that she wasn't pregnant. And so the guy decided to press charges against her. And they found her guilty of sexual assault. And they sentenced her to 6 months in jail. I think it was a suspended sentence, but it's 6 months in jail. So, Ma, do you think it was a crime that she committed? Do you think the sentencing was fair or unfair? And normally, this is stuff that men do when men wear condoms, or you think you're wearing a condom, but then they take the condom off and then they have sex with the woman.
So she poked holes in the condom?
Correct. Without him knowing.
Okay. Well, I don't think it was a crime at all. You know, I do not think it was any more of a crime than when they, you know, do the same thing. They don't want to wear a condom. They, you know, say they're going to wear a condom, but don't wear a condom because they don't like the way it feels or whatever. And, you know, without the woman's knowledge or agreement, I would not.
But it is a crime.
Oh, that is a crime?
That is a crime. Yeah, that's a crime.
Well, how many men went to jail for it?
There are men that, I don't have the percentage, and I'll find out on the next episode, but they have recently made that a crime. Because,
well, that's good. Then if it's a crime, then good. If it's a crime, it should be good for the goose, it's good for the gander.
So you didn't think that was a crime to start with?
She poked holes in the condom?
Yes.
Why didn't he check?
How are you going to check, Ma?
Oh, you mean they were so microscopic he couldn't see?
Yeah.
It was yes. So tiny.
How do you know? Oh, like you.
Well, how did he find out? How did he ever find out?
She told him. She sent the WhatsApp message and said that she was pregnant and she wasn't. Lord,
please, it's all too much for me. It's all too damn crazy. Okay. It's all too crazy. I personally don't think any of it is a crime. Okay. You're having sex with your partner and there's a level of trust and you're supposed to be able to trust each other. And either you do or you don't, and you take your risk and that's it.
But what about people who are wearing protection and who aren't in, you know, a monogamous relationship? What about those people? And they're like upfront, like, oh, I don't want to have a serious relationship with you, so I'm going to wear a condom.
What about them? What's the question? What about it?
I don't think that's right.
How many people do that? Look, that's rare. I think it's rare. I think it's
well, yes.
There should be no legislation about it. I don't think it's that serious. I don't think it's a real issue. I don't think anybody should be going to jail for it. Maybe they need some sex education or something like that. But I don't
think they know what they're doing.
Service. I don't think anybody should be going to jail for that. Look, you asked me my opinion. I'm giving it to you.
I got your opinion, but Ma, don't you see where that's a crime? Like, if you're under the impression that you're being protected,
what's a crime and what's not? There's a lot of things that go on that I think are crimes, and they are not considered criminal. So, you know, no, I don't think.
But what if they would have gotten pregnant?
Oh, well, that's one of the hazards of having sex.
But what if you are under the impression
that you're taking... this? What if I'm on birth control? And that birth control is 90-something%. You know, and I inadvertently do something that I don't think is going to impact the birth control at all. Okay.
Yes.
And it does. Okay.
But you inadvertently, what if you didn't purposely do anything?
Well, I said inadvertently, but maybe it was on purpose. How do you know? Because I really want to have a baby.
Just don't take birth control pills, Ma.
To me,
if I go poking holes in condoms, I think that I'm purposely trying to start something.
Okay, listen. We know that the woman did it deliberately. I don't think she should have gone to jail for it.
Well, and it's a six month suspended sentence, so she's not in jail. Suspended.
Oh, suspended is good. You didn't say that. That's not what you said.
I thought I said that. Well, I think it's suspended.
I didn't hear it. Maybe you did say
it. I just looked at it.
To me, it's just real silly. That's something that happens so rarely. How they could even waste time legislating something so ridiculous. So, you know, to me, it's just foolish.
Okay, Ma. But, okay, we can go to the next topic. But with men, it happens more often. And it could be very serious, Ma, because of diseases.
Okay.
Never mind.
All right. So what are you, the public defender? Okay, good.
Good, Ma.
Oh, who gives a hell?
Okay.
Sex, you take your chances. Get out of here.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So anyway, so let's go.
How many times have you poked holes in?
None.
Right. And most people, come on. But yet they think it's so serious, they got to come up with legislation for it. Oh, please. Okay, let's keep
okay. It. So oh gosh. Oh, it's the Naomi Knows Best segment. Okay, so here we go. You ready, Ma?
Yes, let me hear whatever nonsense this is. Oh my God.
Ma, that's not nice. I'm okay. Only kidding.
No, these questions are relevant. They're far
more relevant. Yes, and we want to encourage people to continue sending us questions.
Okay. Oops.
Okay. So hi, I'm embarrassed because of what I've done. What I am doing. I thought I was being funny, but it's no longer a joke because it's carried on for 5 months. I was at a gay club with my sister. We pretended to be two queer sisters on the prowl looking to get laid. I don't know what this is, but okay, looking to get laid, only neither of us is gay. In fact, my sister met a really dope guy a couple of weeks after our night out. I haven't met anyone. In fact, it's really difficult to meet a man when the cool queer people I met at the club have become instant friends who try to hook me up with same-sex partners.
Right.
We meet up but happy hour once a week, and we've gone to several open mic nights, concerts.
Wait a minute, what it. We? Okay, let me. What we? A group or? Okay,
I don't know, Ma. Let me see.
Okay,
They keep trying to set me up with someone of the same sex. I am a queer ally, not queer.
Okay.
I've heard them make fun of straight people who pretend to be allies only as a fad or out of boredom. I met the coolest, most down-to-earth six people who just happen to be queer. I think if I tell them the truth, they won't want to hang out with me anymore. Me being white and them being people of color might be an issue too from their perspective. They accepted me as a queer woman, not a straight cisgendered white woman. Should I ghost them or tell them the truth and see how the chips fall? Or do you think they are negatively affecting my dating life?
Okay. In the first place, I would lead with the truth. I would tell them the truth and let the chips fall where they may. Because if she's made a genuine connection, it'll work out. And I think the longer she waits to tell the truth, the less, you know, the worse it'll be. And you know, and they really just won't even trust her, you know? So I would tell the truth and see how things go. And this thing about her dating life, she is in control of that. She can do both. She can have her friends, you know, she can have her same-sex friends, and she can have, male or men in her life as well. Why can't she do both things? I don't even really get the problem. But she has to have balance. And if she doesn't want to lose the friends that she's met, then she should just tell them what's up with her, and that she really enjoys, you know, and she feels like she's made friends with them, and she really likes them and enjoys spending time with them. And that's what she should say. And that's what I would, you know, and see how it all goes down. I don't think they will just, you know, not like her because she says she isn't gay or whatever, or she is or isn't, or whatever the case is. I don't think that will determine, you know, how they feel toward her.
Okay.
And that's what I have to say about it. And mm-hmm. And as far as if that's interfering with her dating life, that's up to her. Right? Her dating life is up to her, right?
You know best.
Yes, right. Her dating life is totally up to her. Now I'm wondering if she has some questions, you know, about her own sexuality and if she's sort of, you know.
If she's questioning?
Yeah, absolutely. And if that's what's going on, so be it. Let it all take its path. Let it take its course, you know. And and that's what she should do. And okay. That's what I would do, because she's made friends, she's been enjoying them, she likes them, and she wants to spend time, you know, with the friends that she's made, and that's what I would attempt to continue to do.
Okay.
All right.
So thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
I don't know what you're going to do, but good luck, sweetie.
Thank you for sending us. That was via DM. Thank you for doing that. As we mentioned before, you know, DM at the Bambushi Happy Hour, or you can email us at allthingspeju@gmail.com with any questions. And you never know when it'll pop up on the Naomi Knows Best segment. And we, you know, we have other segments too, but in particularly Naomi Knows Best. So Ma, is there anything that you want to say before we leave? I know you said quite a lot today.
I want everyone just to continue to take care of yourself and enjoy life. And, you know, just remember to care about each other. And, you know, we never know, you know, when we'll see each other again. And so on that note, which is supposed to be a happy note, guys, on that note, you know, continue to reach out and listen and support the Bambushi Happy Hour.
Thanks for listening, guys, to the Bambushi Happy Hour. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Bambushi Happy Hour, and also at All Things Peju. And subscribe to our YouTube page at All Things Peju. Like, subscribe. We love it, guys. Thank you so much for all the support. And we will we'll be on again soon in a couple days. All right.
Bye, guys.
Bye.